It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. We are here at beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio, and I am joined by Ian Kay.
Hey, everyone.
Believe it or not, the All-Star game this year is in Cincinnati, Ohio. We're really happy to be here. I have had pounds and pounds of Skyline chili so far. It's been a delicious experience.
Dakota, I told you to pace yourself.
There will be no pacing myself. Skyline, Graters, Montgomery ribs, I'm eating everything.
Dakota's making this both a marathon and a sprint of Cincinnati cuisine.
It's totally true. But yeah, no, we're really excited to be here. We're really excited that the city has graciously welcomed us and the All-Star Game here. We have a lot we're going to talk about on today's episode. We're going to talk a little bit about some All-Star Game home run derby storylines that we're really excited to see. We're going to discuss maybe which All-Stars have the best dad bod. We'll talk a little bit about that. Very important topic there. And then maybe we'll get some questions and answers from some of the fans here today and see what you guys have to say about a lot of these important issues. But first...
Well, Dakota, should we explain to the millions, tens of millions listening at home exactly where this pod is taking place?
That's a great point. Ian, we are in the middle of MLB All-Star Fan Fest, presented by T-Mobile. It's very exciting. Is it presented by T-Mobile?
Maybe.
All right. Free advertising for T-Mobile, if not. But... it's basically like Comic-Con for baseball fans. It's really exciting. Everybody here is tons and tons of Reds fans, all kinds of obscure jerseys that you would not expect to see anywhere. These are the die-hard fans here today. We have a lot of them here in front of us on our stage. It's super exciting to see them here. We have a gentleman dressed up in full classic Reds attire. This is like, these are the passionate MLB fans here today.
It's like Comic-Con, except with better costumes.
Yeah, it's better at Comic-Con, essentially, is what we're trying to say. So this is really exciting. But before we get into the meat and potatoes of the Cut Forecast, we do a little tradition here where we try to embarrass each other by asking each other questions that we don't know the answers to. This is called the MLB.com Cut 4 Pop Quiz. This is pretty exciting.
It is exciting. It's terrifying. You know, it's kind of like when you know there's a pop quiz coming, but you still didn't study for it.
Yeah,
it's sort of like that.
That is true. So, Ian, we're going to switch back. We're going to do a spelling bee for you.
Oh, no.
You're going to go first here.
This is not good.
And I'm going to ask you a very simple question, and that is this. Spell Cincinnati.
Okay. Wow. There's a lot of people looking at me. Usually we do this in a studio, and it's just like three of us and a producer. Wow. It's like the entire like AP style guy is just staring me in the face.
Yeah, you can stall all you want. These people want to see you spell their city.
None of you guys wore a shirt that said Cincinnati on the front. C I N N.
Nope.
Double N is second.
Wrong. Yep. C I N. Why don't you guys do it? Spell Cincinnati for me.
Wow.
See, look at that.
How many times do you think I've typed the word Cincinnati in the last month? 10,000?
At least.
50,000?
You should be ashamed of yourself.
C-I-N-C-I-N-N-A-T-I. Got it. Okay, now I got it.
Yeah.
Now I got it.
All right, so what is your pop quiz question
for me? All
right,
Dakota. My quiz, we're going to hop in a time machine for you. We're going to go back exactly 10 years.
Uh-oh.
July 12th. We're recording this on July 12th. July 12th, 2005.
Okay.
We're going to direct that time machine to Detroit, Michigan, to Comerica Park.
Okay.
For the 2005 Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Okay?
Okay.
20 MLB players started that game.
Oh, no.
18 hitters and 2 pitchers.
Oh, God.
I'm going to give you 5 guesses. How many starters from the 2005 MLB All-Star Game 10 years ago today can you name?
Probably none. But let's see how we go.
Well, you thoroughly embarrassed me here, so
This is going to be way worse, because I'm really bad at this. Let's see here. Ken Griffey Jr.
Incorrect. No.
I was appealing to the home crowd. Why don't you guys help me out? Who wants to help name some All-Stars?
10 years ago.
10 years ago. What was that? Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter. Is Derek Jeter one?
Derek Jeter did not start that All-Star game.
Derek Jeter didn't start the 2005 All-Star game?
No.
Wow. Wow.
He didn't.
Okay.
Miguel Tejada started at shortstop.
Oh, well, Miguel Tejada clearly deserved it. Let's see. I'm trying to think. You've stumped me. This is really bad.
Okay.
This well, you is have humiliating.
Four more. He used one of your guesses, but you have four more.
I give up. You've humiliated okay. me
wow.
thoroughly.
Really? David Ortiz couldn't get
David
that
Ortiz.
One. Manny Ramirez.
Okay.
Dakota grew up a Red Sox fan, obsesses over David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez on a
I know.
Day-to-day
you got,
basis.
You can throw stuff at me. It's really embarrassing.
And now when the chips are down.
Yeah.
Albert Pujols, may have heard of him, started that
game. I'm not
game.
Familiar with him.
His work.
Do you think he's here? He's here this week?
He might be.
Yeah?
Heard he was going to stop by.
Okay.
Mark Burley started that game for the American
Mark
League.
Mark Burley.
Still around, you know. Jim Edmonds.
Good for Mark Burley starting the 2005 All-Star game.
There are several players that are still. Mark Teixeira, an All-Star that year. He didn't start, but he was an All-Star.
Look at All-Star that. Again a lot of repeat year. All-Stars.
Yeah.
10 years
still
apart.
Around.
Good for them.
Okay, well, good job on that pop quiz.
Yeah,
getting
so I did a terrible
none
job
of
there.
The answers.
We're going to move on past the part where I humiliated myself in front of hundreds and hundreds of people. And instead, we're going to move on to the part where we talk about what we're most excited for here. Now, obviously, as I've shown my cards a little bit, I'm really most excited for the food. But other than that, I'm also really excited to watch the Home Run Derby.
Are you?
I am. I think I am this too. Is going to be really exciting. I think it's a really great field. I think Todd Frazier obviously has to be the front runner here. I saw that maybe there were some odds makers who agreed with that assertion that Todd Frazier is going to be the best. But what else? What are you excited for in addition to the Home Run Derby?
First of all, I'm excited always for the Home Run Derby. I think
okay.
it's awesome. You know, just see these guys launch like massive homers. You hear a lot about guys who like have this batting practice power that you know, reporters talk about, tweet about, write about. But like as fans, it's pretty rare you get to see that.
Okay.
And now once a year, you get to see guys absolutely launch, you know, one home run after another after another. Mm. But there are a few specific storylines that I'm looking forward to. One of those is Jock Peterson.
Yes.
Jock Peterson is unique in that he's an outfielder in this year's Home Run Derby. A lot of infielders, first baseman, third baseman, but Jock has to represent for all the outfielders in the league. A rookie, there's another rookie in it, obviously, with Chris Bryant, but, you know, all the outfielders out there who have the home run power, Jock is the only one to put on for all them. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that, too. I have to say I'm also really excited to see Chris Bryant. I mean, I feel like rookies should absolutely always be in the Home Run Derby. It's like a great opportunity to like show off what you can do, to put your name on the national stage, to like really impress all of your peers. Because the All-Star Game, I mean, it's all of those super famous players. So I feel like I'm looking forward to the rookies sort of showing off in front of the Cincinnati fans. Yep.
I think given how that bracket sets up too, the potential of a Rizzo-Bryant final would
yeah.
be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if it is in Cincinnati. But Todd Frazier will be representing.
Yeah, Todd's going to win. Let's
I
be
think
real.
He's a good candidate. He's a good candidate.
But no, yeah, it's the bracket is an awesome format. I think they did a really good job like tweaking that and making that really work. And, you know, the other Home Run Derby that I think we need to take a second to discuss is the Mascot Home Run Derby.
Ooh.
Which is happening here at MLB All-Star Fan Fest. I think we should actually do the play-by-play for the MLB Mascot Home Run Derby. I don't know if you agree with me on that.
Yeah, I think we just spin our chairs around as soon as this is over, and then we call that.
Yeah, I think that's basically the way it goes.
I think that's how it works.
The Reds obviously would have an advantage in that they have many, many mascots who could compete, and two of their mascots are, in fact, baseballs, or three. So, you know, they can speak with the ball. They can get that relationship going beforehand so they're aware of what's going on and can knock it out of the park.
Do you have any other favorites for that?
Any other favorites? I think Slugger has actually won before. And I believe Stomper has also won before. So they probably are favorites.
Are you a historian of the Mascot Home Run Derby?
You know, yeah, you could say I'm a John Thorne of such things. You could put MLB historian John Thorne. I think it's an important event that we should cherish as a part of the fabric of our game. Absolutely.
I agree.
So what All-Star game storyline are you most excited to sort of see play out on the field?
So there's one thing that I always really enjoy about the All-Star game, and that's kind of the starting pitchers, you know, these guys who throw really hard, but in a normal game, they have to condition themselves to go 6, 7, 8 innings three times through the order. They kind of have to pace themselves, which they actually do, unlike you eating Skyline Chili for every meal since you've
arrived.
Yeah,
I can't pace myself.
But in an All-Star game kind of situation, they're only going one inning, maybe two.
Yeah.
So you get these guys like Chris Sale or Gerrit Cole or whoever who throw you know, really hard, even when they're going eight innings, and now they just air it out for, you know, 15, 20 pitches. And so they're hitting numbers on the radar gun you don't usually see, and they're doing it against the top hitters in the league. So I like to see the starters, especially those two, I think, to really throw it pretty much as hard as they can.
Yeah, I do like that. I like all the pitching that you get to see during the All-Star game. And related to that, I think one of the things that I'm most excited for is the managerial matchup of Ned Yost and Bruce Bochy. I feel like those are... I feel like that was one of the prevailing storylines of the World Series, and I'm excited to see it play out again here at the All-Star game.
What do you think is the record for most bunts in an All-Star game?
Oh, we're about to find out, my friend. We're about to break that record. Ned Yost, bunt master. Bunt
I hope
master
so.
Supreme. But why don't we talk to some of you guys and get some of your opinions of what you're most excited to see here at the Home Run Derby and the All-Star game. Tiffany, hello, this is Tiffany.
Hi.
She's our helpful guest. First of all, what are you most excited to see here at the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby?
I actually love seeing all the kids running around at the Home Run Derby. That's kind of like my favorite thing. They're adorable.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's always great to see them like make those great plays out in the field and stuff like that.
Both the ones in the field and like the players' kids when they're handing up the bats and everything. Just the kids are the best part about all of All-Star, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
And at Home Run Derby, though, specifically, that's one of my favorite parts.
Totally. And like with Prince Fielder being in the field, you have the Prince Fielder child, one of the great sports kids out there today. An elite sports kid?
Yeah, I think so.
An elite sports kid. So why don't you find somebody here? Why don't we talk to this gentleman here?
The Red Stocking?
Sir, what is your name, first of all?
Jay.
Jay? So, Jay, before we even get to the storylines that you're most excited to see, we need to talk about this outfit that you're wearing. Now, this is a podcast, which means people can't entirely see what you're wearing. So I'm going to attempt to describe it for them. It appears
describe
as though...
Unless
Jay would want to describe it.
It appears as though you have stepped out of a time machine from the past here into MLB All-Star Game with your pillbox hat and your full ensemble. Why don't you describe for us what exactly you're wearing?
Well, it starts with the mustache, which is almost completely genuine.
Really?
And I've been growing it for this weekend.
Okay.
And I've got the old pillbox hat. There's actually nothing super authentic about the total outfit, but kind of comes together for the fest.
Yeah.
The old time C for the 1869 Reds.
Okay.
And got the stirrups and the red socks and just having a good time.
Yeah, I mean, it's the stirrups are absolutely, I think, the high point of the entire ensemble
here.
It's
the legs, you know.
And is this, who's with you today?
My beautiful wife.
It's your wife? And you let him leave the house like that?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Does he wear this every day or just for special occasions?
Just for special occasions. It's an All-Star game.
Weddings, bar mitzvahs, that kind of thing.
I wore it to work on Friday and nothing got done.
All right, so what are you most excited to see here at the All-Star game or at the Home Run Derby, anything like that?
Well, we live right downtown within a couple of blocks of the ballpark, so we're just excited as downtown Cincinnati residents just to see all of the excitement. The place is going wild. We're all praying for good weather, but either way, it's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, it's fun. We've done a couple of these, and I have to say that, like, this is easily the most excited I've seen a city about an All-Star game, and, like, Cincinnati should definitely be really proud of that. Like, I went to one in New York 2 years ago, and you couldn't even tell that it was happening. And right. New York's such a big city, and here it feels like it's taken over the entire town.
The entire city is alive with it.
Yeah, it's so cool. What else? Is there, like, a player you're particularly excited to see?
I think when Todd Frazier comes up to bat both nights, the place is going to go wild, and when they bring in Aroldis to close the game, you've never heard noise like you're going to hear for that.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the Aroldis Chapman close.
That would be huge. That would be cool. Yeah, you talk about guys who can air it out for an inning.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah, if he knows he's only pitching one inning, has a couple days rest, that guy, he's got fire. We may break the land speed record tonight, on Tuesday night. It's going to be pretty exciting.
I've seen him do 103. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Thank God. I want to see 104. It's the All-Star game.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he should dial it up, certainly. A record. It should be a record, I think. An All-Star game record from Aroldis Chapman. And we'll have StatCast on site to track it and let us know for sure.
That
which
we
is
will.
Pretty exciting.
Are there any players you're especially excited to see?
I mean, I'm excited to see Albert Pujols, which is going to, I think, tip our hat for our next topic here. But, you know, you talked about how he's been around forever. And, like, he's resurgent this year, which is really exciting. And he's one of those guys who, like, for years was, like, automatic first guy in your fantasy drafts. And to watch him, like, slip down the charts a little bit was sort of not sad, but, like, you know, it felt like an era was passing and moving on. And so it's cool to see him back and mashing and taking part in the Derby and all of that. I mean, that's really exciting.
I agree. I'm actually going to go the other way, though, with a guy who feels like he's been around forever, but it's really only been a few years. I'm excited to see Bryce Harper in this thing.
Yes.
You know, there was that oft-talked-about poll before the season, a poll of players, where they named Bryce Harper, whoever it was that voted in that, the most overrated player in baseball. And now if you look at the player voting component to the All-Star selections, I think only three or four guys got more votes than Harper. I think it was, you know, Trout, Miggy, maybe one or two others. You know, so the players have come around on it. And now Harper's like, this is the big stage. He's doing it during the regular season, but now you got everybody watching one game. So I want to see what he does.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting, definitely. So this moves into our next topic, which I think is a really important topic. Who on the MLB All-Star team for National League, American League, has the best dad bod?
Wow, great segue.
Or maybe the most dad bod. Now, the reason why I segue into this is that for me personally, my choice for this is Albert Pujols.
Oh,
I feel like
he
is the quintessential dad bod at this point in his career. That's not an insult. I think you should be proud of that.
I'm proud of it.
As well you should be. But, you know, the fact that he is able to mash while looking like a dad, I think is inspirational to all the dads out there, especially all the dads here at MLB.com, MLB FanFest.
A great dad event, really, FanFest.
Yes.
I think any event in a convention center is a great dad event. Like, I went to a lot of things in a convention center with a dad, most of them auto shows. But, like, coming with your dad to FanFest is a memory for any young child, I think.
It's true. I mean, you know, the whole baseball dads thing.
Yes.
And definitely the FanFest, because there's, like, so much stuff from eras gone by, and you know, there's trading cards, and there's jerseys, and there's all that kind of stuff. And so it's really awesome that, like, it is a good dad event, for sure. So, who has the best dad bod?
Okay, I mean, I consider this for hours, and it's tough to narrow it down, but I think that Stephen Vogt has the best dad bod.
Stephen Vogt, okay.
Yeah, comes from a long history, a story tradition of catchers with dad bods.
Yeah.
I think you also have to take into account his appearances on TV in costume. We've seen him on Intentional Talk, doing a little Chris Farley impression, the referee impression. Like, those are quality dad jokes.
Yeah.
And I think they really contribute to, like, his dad bod aura. In addition to physical, like, coming out there and making, like, a straight referee joke is, like, a great dad bit.
That's true. Yeah, dad, it's sort of just a dad ethos.
Yes.
Yeah, you can be a dad without being a dad, as it were. And, yeah.
Actually, I don't know if he's a dad or not.
Yeah, I don't know either.
We could probably find out.
You know, either way, he is a dad, though. It doesn't really matter, though. So let me ask you this question.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you better buckle up here. You said you went to, like, auto shows with your dad?
Yeah.
First of all, I've never been to an auto show, so what is that like?
Well, it's a lot of cars. It's like a big room, much
it's
like this.
It's a lot
this.
Of cars.
It's
okay,
a lot
thanks.
Of cars.
That was a good answer.
It's a lot of, like, looking around, and you're like, oh, I want that one, and I want that one, and I want that one. And you can sit
Did
in the
Did you get
cars.
All of them?
Yeah. We own, like, 7,000 cars now.
Cool. That's pretty exciting.
We have none of them. Yeah, but it was, like, this cool thing that we did together for a lot of years. I mean, we still do, I guess. But, like, you can sit in the cars. It's just kind of the highlight.
That's cool.
Yeah,
see, my dad just mostly embarrassed me. That was what he would do. My dad was a radio host, and he did, like, a local news show in various places around the country. And when I was growing up, he would tell these, like, really embarrassing stories about me on the radio, just, like, to his listeners, and many of whom were my teachers. And so that was really essentially what he did. We didn't go to auto shows. He just humiliated me on the radio.
Would you like to share a story?
Would
continue
I like
the family tradition of sharing embarrassing Dakota Gardner stories in, like, readily accessible audio recorded situations?
Yeah, I mean, this was more embarrassing for me than him. But when I was, like, a little kid, we were playing, like, a board game or whatever, and I don't remember. They, like, enforced the rules, and as a child, I didn't like when my dad and brother enforced the rules. I wanted the rules to sort of bend to my will. And
some things never change.
Yeah, ha 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 ha. So they, like, you know, I was through a fit, and they grounded me or whatever, and I wrote my dad a note, and I stuffed it under his door. I was really young, because I had just learned how to write a letter. And so I was like, I'm going to write him a strongly worded letter. And so I wrote Dear Dad.
Some things never change.
Dear Dad, I hate you. Love, Dakota. That was my letter. And he then read that on the air. I was like, wow. Listen to how adorable this was. And I was little, and so I was like, it's not adorable, Dad. I'm mad at you.
What a great story. That's a moment that I'm sure the people of Charlotte, North Carolina, listening to that radio show will never forget.
They never forgot it. They were, till to this day, you can go anywhere in Charlotte, North Carolina, they'll tell you about that. What about you? Do you have, like, a really embarrassing story with your dad?
I do have an embarrassing story of my dad. It's great. It's really especially great because, like, it doesn't embarrass me in any way. It's just him. So we used to go on these, like, family ski trips to Vermont every year.
Yeah.
And I have three brothers and sisters. So it'd be, like, six of us. My aunt and uncle. It'd be, like, whatever, eight people trying to get on, like, the gondola chairlift thing. And there's a line of, like, thousands and thousands of people. You know, you wait, like, an hour to get on the gondola if you've ever done, like, some East Coast skiing. And so this line is, like, crawling along, and finally we get to the front, and all of us kind of, like, rush into the lift, and the way that it moves, it kind of goes, like, in a circle. So you get on at the beginning, and then you rotate around in front of all the other people waiting. Mm-hmm. And we're all on, and we're like, where is Dad? And you see him, and he's kind of, like, really, really slowly shuffling, and we're like, what are you doing? Like, come on. And then you look closer, and you realize that, like, as he's rotating in front of hundreds of people, his ski pants are just around his ankles. And it's just, like, his long underwear.
What exactly happened?
His ski pants just, like, fell down. Like, I guess they were loose, and they fell down in front of hundreds of people.
Like, that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've been there.
Have you?
No.
Okay.
I was just trying to give your dad some moral support.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it's a story that's been told thousands of times. And now, for public consumption.
Good. The best use of the Cut Forecast is embarrassing family members.
Yes.
That's what I've discovered over
time. We may have to cancel that family show we were planning.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they're not going to come on the show anymore. That's it for them. So, Ian, let me ask you this question. We're going to try to get a definitive answer to this here today. We'll see if that's possible. But we've asked hundreds of people this question. Is a hot dog a sandwich? And this has become a really popular hot button debate among baseball Twitter. And I want to hear your opinion first, and then we're going to try to grab some of these people walking by here and see what they say, if a hot dog is a sandwich or not. So, Ian, what do you think?
I strongly, strongly believe that a hot dog is not a sandwich.
Okay. Why?
Because sandwich, it has to have, like, two distinct pieces of bread for me.
Okay.
Or not too distinct, but, like, enough bread that you can slather, like, multiple condiments on different sides and not have them, like, fully interacting.
Yeah.
Is kind of one of the big things for me. And I feel like with a hot dog, even if you have some other stuff in there, the condiments can mingle in the middle, like, kind of below the hot dog. And that prevents it from being a sandwich for me.
Okay, yeah. I mean, personally, I also strongly believe that a hot dog is not a sandwich. I think that the hot dog is called a hot dog, not a hot dog sandwich, which I think is a key component of this problem. I do think it's interesting, then, that also there's a bun called a sandwich bun that you can get a hot dog on, which to me means that all other times it's not technically a sandwich. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to get you guys listening here to answer this really important question. So, yeah, here we go. All right, we have somebody
just
here.
Just step right up.
Yeah, this is Austin, guys, and he's going to tell you what he thinks about the hot dog sandwich debate, because I know this is an important question.
I say it is a sandwich just because it's in a bun, I guess. You have the meat, the hot dog, inside the bun, and just like a hamburger, it's a beef patty between bun.
So you think it's a sandwich because it is on a bun, and that is, like, the defining quality of a sandwich, right?
Yeah, that's what I would say.
So what about, like, a sausage? That's also, like, a bratwurst? That would be a sandwich as well?
Yes, brat, med, all that.
Okay, so now what other sandwiches do you have that are that small and compact, and where the bread is also linked together at the bottom? Is that a common sandwich trope that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, like, with,
okay.
Like ham sandwiches, stuff like that. what else?
Okay.
Cheesesteak.
Austin, what do you put on your hot dog?
Mustard, ketchup, relish.
Wow, all three.
Sometime, yeah.
At the same time. Yeah. Okay.
That's hardcore. That's
living
hardcore.
Dangerously.
Sometimes you have to. We're young.
How sure are you on a scale of 1 to 10 that a hot dog is a sandwich? Would you give it, like, I am absolutely sure, or are you more like iffy?
I'm a 6.
A six?
Okay.
That's iffy. That's,
yeah, so like in the middle. All right. Yeah.
You could be swayed if there was like a campaign.
Easily.
Okay.
While we have you here, we need to settle another really important debate, if that's okay. I am of the opinion that when you reach a certain age, when you go to a baseball game, if you're not sitting down the first third base line, if you're not with a child, you should not bring a glove to the game. That it's too much of a schlep, that you're an adult now, and it's time to put the toys away. Do you believe that you should bring a glove to the game no matter what situation, no matter what?
I mean, I'm bringing one in the home run derby, but I'm in the bleachers, so I don't know if that's different.
Okay.
But other than that, I don't bring one to the game, and I'm in the bleachers for season tickets, so I'd say no unless you're right there and about to get hit.
Great. I agree. I think that's really good.
I think the home run derby is once a year. You can bring whatever you want.
Yeah, for the derby, that's fine. I think All-Star is fine. I'll give special dispensation for stuff like that. I'm glad to hear that you feel similarly.
Regular season, no. I think it's just weird when
yeah.
you see like an old dude with a glove and I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Austin.
Awesome. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah,
that was a good answer.
Thanks for repping for the NL, too. And for Bryce.
Oh, the Bryce jersey.
And Bryce Harper.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, he's excited. He's ready to go. I see. That's the glove is the other really important question here. And I do believe that, like, my issue with the glove more than anything is that you have to bring it with you and you have to carry it. And I hate carrying things really at all times, no matter what, let alone having to carry it while I'm trying to get food.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like you're just kind of playing the odds. Like, there's 40,000 people in the stadium.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's kind of like they talk about how anyone who really thinks they're going to die in a plane crash is actually super narcissistic. Like, why are you so special that you're going to be the one?
So,
like, why do you think that you're going to catch a foul ball, that it's going to come to you?
I'm glad that like you are calling me narcissistic here, because I'm always afraid of that. That's terrible, Ian. You should feel ashamed of yourself. But
no.
let's open this up again. Let's open this up to another fan here. So, sir, what is your name?
This is Trey, and actually he's going to tell you guys the definitive definition of a sandwich.
Oh, okay.
So this is going to go back, and maybe this will squash the debate.
All right, what do we got?
Yeah, so this is like Merriam-Webster, you know, this is the legit definition.
Who is she?
No, it's Merriam-Webster,
yeah.
You know.
He's don't mind him. He didn't graduate college.
It's an item
just
of food.
Just because I can't spell Cincinnati.
Consisting of two pieces of bread with meat, cheese, or other filling between them. Eaten as a light meal.
Okay, so now by that definition, would you say a hot dog is a sandwich?
So based on that definition, I would not say that a hot dog is a sandwich because it's one piece of bread.
Okay, I agree with that. But now I'm gonna play devil's advocate here for a second. If you go to like a Subway or if you get a sub sandwich, though, that's one piece of bread that's been cut down the middle and is hinged much like a hot dog bun.
No, I actually agree with that. I don't agree with this definition. I'm just telling you the definition. I think in the whole world of sandwiches, it's bread, meat, cheese, whatever, bread. And that's how it's layered. And I think that's how a hot dog is layered as well.
So would you say that like a cheese coney, that's a sandwich?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to Merriam-Webster about this issue.
Yeah, I think we should all start sharing with Webster that we're not thrilled with their definition here. That it leaves a little bit too much open to interpretation. So while we have you here, we have to ask you this glove question.
Yeah.
You know, you're a Cardinals fan, so
yeah.
I feel like we should defer to you on a lot of these issues here as a great fan of baseball.
Okay, I appreciate that. These Reds fans, they think we're all bad, and they're like surprised when I'm a nice guy. They're like, oh, I can't believe you're so nice. You're from St. Louis. That's crazy.
You're all from the Midwest. You should all bond together to attack us East Coast types. That's really what it needs to happen. We've carpet-bagged here. It's not okay. So, what do you think? Should you bring a glove to the game? Is it a schlep? Is it child's play? What do we have?
I'm looking out for myself. I want to protect my face. You know what I mean?
Okay.
A glove helps me protect my face while not breaking my hand. That's my view on it.
Fair.
Wait, can I chime in real quick? What if you're in the upper deck? Like, you're not even near a foul ball territory?
Yeah, no, if you're, like, way up, section 400, no. No glove.
Okay.
Like, come on, be serious. Nothing's going to get up there.
So there's not like a hard and fast rule. It's sort of like you have to see like if it's realistic for you to have a ball. Then
right,
you
yeah.
For
like,
you,
go
it's
to
about
the stats,
self-preservation.
Figure out where foul balls actually go and do your research before you decide on wearing a glove.
Yeah. See, this, I feel like this is like a good market inefficiency that some fans could exploit using the StatCast technology to figure out where all of the balls are landing and then know that's where you need to be.
Yeah, like a percentage chart. Maybe they put it up at the stadium. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
They should get that on the board. You should have glove sections and non-glove sections.
See, there you go. And then those season tickets would be more valuable.
Yeah. But then do people get upset because you're excluding the non-gloves?
That's true. Yeah. That is true. Well, thank you so much for answering these important questions. I think that was having the Merriam-Webster definition, I think, was a nice
addition. I know. He brought some knowledge.
Because we have not had that before. Yeah. So I still don't think it's a sandwich. I'm still not convinced that a hot dog is a sandwich, because I feel like when you see it on a restaurant menu, it's rarely listed under the sandwich section.
That's another good point. It's usually in its own, like, from the grill section.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a sandwich. In the same way that I would not call Skyline Chili spaghetti, even though it uses spaghetti, I would call it Skyline Chili, complete with spaghetti.
I have yet to have the full Skyline Chili experience, so I'm not going to weigh
in. When we're done with this pod, we're going to go right over
we've
now.
We've got a couple more days in Cincinnati, so.
That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day at Skyline Chili. Do we have anybody else who feels really strongly if a hot dog is a sandwich? Tiffany, if you wouldn't mind tracking down one more person, because we need to really settle this debate. We have a couple opinions here.
I feel
here.
Like we're 1-1 on the fan opinions. So
I know.
We need a tiebreaker.
I feel like we need to break this down really and get a true answer here.
Tiffany is approaching a gentleman in a Johnny Bench jersey.
Johnny Bench absolutely will know.
Is
Do
that,
you think that's actually Johnny Bench?
It doesn't look like most of the Johnny Bench pictures
I've
seen.
I don't know. It looks like him. He looks
if
like
we get
a professional.
Johnny Bench to,
he's declining.
No, he's declining.
He's saying no.
Wow, wishy-washy doesn't have an opinion on the most
Does anybody
important
here,
debate of our time.
Raise your hand if you have a strong opinion about whether a hot dog is a sandwich. Yes or no?
I know you've all had a hot dog
You've
before.
All thought about this. Shame. Come on, people. This is a really
I think
important
we got one.
Debate.
Okay, I think we got one.
Here we go. We have a Mets fan. We have a Mets fan here. Sir, you say no? It's not a sandwich. Okay, so this guy gets it. All right, so now, Tiffany, who do we have here?
We have Art here now. He's going to tell you what he thinks.
Yeah, a hot dog's a sandwich. It's meat on bread.
It's a sandwich.
Sandwich.
How sure are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
10.
So you're certain?
Certain.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
So what about, I made this point a little bit earlier, but what about, you can have a hot dog on something called a sandwich bun, which is separate from a hot dog bun. That's how they do it in New England.
It's bread. It's split. Put the meat in between, it's a sandwich.
Okay, so this is like cut and dry. This is a clear issue to you.
Right.
Okay.
Actually, can I chime in? Because you just reminded me of something. Going back even to the dad stories,
yeah.
When I was younger, my dad would make hot dogs, and when we ran out of hot dog buns, he would get two pieces of bread and put the hot dog in the bread.
What?
So do you think that's the same dish? Like when it's prepared on two pieces of bread versus a hot dog bun, do you call that the same?
Yes.
And what about you, Tiffany? You would too?
Yeah, you know. Bread and hot dog, yeah.
So if you ordered a hot dog and it was brought to you between two pieces of white bread, you'd be like, yes, this is a sandwich? And you'd say, yes, it's a hot dog.
Correct.
Okay.
I wish I was as sure about anything in my life as this gentleman is about this
debate. Sir, you're a Mets fan, is that right?
That's correct.
Are you from New York?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
Long Island.
Who is your favorite Mets player?
Right now?
Sure, right now or all time, either way.
All time, Seaver.
Okay, that's a good choice. What do you think their chances are this year?
If they don't get any hitting, not very good.
Okay, fair. Okay. And one last question. Bringing a glove to the baseball game, yes or no? As an adult, you're an adult. You've been to many baseball games. Do you believe that you should bring a glove to the game or not? Yes or no?
I think kids should bring gloves to games.
Okay.
I think adults should only bring them when somebody's going to get 3,000 hits and you're sitting in a section where you can catch the ball.
Cool.
But I think it's for kids.
See, I feel like maybe we should defer here because this seems like he's sure about the hot dog issue. He seems to have the right opinion here about the glove thing.
Okay.
So thank you for stopping by and answering these questions. You've been really helpful here to help settle our debate.
Well, they decide, is that 2-1 in favor of sandwich?
I believe so.
Two to one?
I think we're outnumbered, Ian.
I think we are. Should we run?
I think out of protest, I'm not going to eat a hot dog anymore. That's it.
Well, you're only eating Skyline Chili now, so it shouldn't be too hard.
That's a great point. That's the only food I'm going to eat from now until the end of time.
Can you put Skyline Chili on a hot dog?
Yeah, it comes on a hot dog.
Is that how it comes?
Yeah, so you can get it two ways. You can either get it on spaghetti or you can get it on a hot dog.
Okay, I'd seen it on spaghetti. I hadn't seen it on the hot dog.
Yeah, I do both. Because I'm a glutton, but you have to get your chili on the spaghetti, and then you also have to get it with a coney.
So which way? If I'm gonna eat it only once, which way is the real way to get it?
Well, you're supposed to get it both ways. I don't know. Who's like of Cincinnati chili? Who prefers it more on spaghetti, And then who prefer it more on spaghetti? And then who prefers it more on the hot dog? Who hates Cincinnati chili and just doesn't like it at all? Okay, great. Here we go.
Where are you guys from?
Oh, they're losers.
From here. They're from here.
You're from Cincinnati and you hate Skyline chili. It's watered down. Okay, we need to get some opinions here. So yeah, you're.
this is a hot take.
you're getting shamed here. This might be the hottest take we've heard here at the All-Star Game. Why do you hate Cincinnati chili?
It doesn't taste good.
It doesn't taste good, and it's too watery. No,
it's all water.
What do you say to those who say that you also hate America if you say you hate Cincinnati chili? I'm not saying that. I'm just asking the questions here. What would you respond to somebody who might say that?
I don't know. I've never been asked that, but I don't hate America.
That's good.
I will say a hot dog is a sandwich, so.
Okay, a hot dog is a sandwich. So then you would say a hot dog with Cincinnati chili on it is just a bad sandwich?
It's a horrible sandwich.
Okay.
Okay, so here's my question. If we're here in Cincinnati for a few days and Cincinnati chili is not the thing that we should have, what do we need to eat in Cincinnati?
What would you say?
I would say the Senate and get hot dogs with a bunch of stuff on it.
Okay. So you can get a hot dog everywhere.
No, like the Senate. I got a hot dog at the Senate. It was hot dog, cheese, bacon, coleslaw, and crushed Doritos.
Okay, that does sound really good.
That does sound. I've never seen that before.
Exactly. Okay. It's a Cincinnati thing. See that?
Okay.
We also got Montgomery Inn and ribs here.
I do love those. I may end up being there later this evening, in fact. My mom is from Cincinnati, and when I was younger, we went here all the time. And when we would only have a day, we would start out at Skyline in the sort of early afternoon, and then we'd have Grater's, and then we'd go to, like, Buskin Bakery, and then we'd go to Montgomery Inn. I would be, like, I was a very large child, obviously, because I
wanna join
so
the
much
Gardner
delicious
family
Cincinnati
vacation.
Food. But let me ask you this. Should you bring a glove to the game?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I've been in the ballpark many times to see adults with gloves steal the balls from kids when the players throw them up to them.
Yeah.
Don't really agree with that.
Yeah, no, that's like the worst. That's like the cardinal sin of being out of it. No offense, sir. No offense, Cardinal fan in the back there. But that is that's the cardinal sin of stealing a foul ball from a child, I feel like.
Yes, should be like a lifetime ban for that.
Absolutely.
There's no penalty too strong.
I know. Ian, sadly, I think we're running out of time here.
Are we?
We are.
That's too bad.
I know. But let's do this. We have a tradition here on the Cup Forecast where we sum up the entire podcast into 140 characters, one tweet that sums up the whole thing into an easily digestible chunk. So since I did really horribly on our pop quiz early, I mean, we both failed, but I humiliated myself in the process.
I think we both humiliated ourselves.
I will go
process.
First this time. And this is what I will say. Skyline chili is delicious, period. Home run derby, : Todd Frazier for the win. That's my tweet.
Okay.
I feel like that sums up the pod.
I'll fave that.
You'll fave that?
Yeah, I'm not going to retweet it.
I'm appealing to the local Cincinnatians to help favorite and retweet.
Okay, here's
sandwich.
Here's my attempt.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. why don't you sum up for us in a tweet? Give us another tweet.
Well, I like your start. So we'll start with, we'll do home run derby, HR derby, Todd Frazier for win.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
Because, you know, 140 characters, you got to shrink it down.
You're right, you got to be compact.
Hot dog emoji, #
sandwich
emoji.
Okay, you might win with the emojis. I think that's the
and
best.
And then lots of smiley faces and thumbs up.
Just fill the rest of the 140 characters.
That's true. See, we never use all 140 characters, and that's a great way. You got to get your message short and then just fill the rest with all the emoji. That's really awesome. All right, Ian, what is your tweet?
Okay, here we go. If you put Skyline chili in a baseball glove, is it a sandwich? Find out at next year's live cut forecast from FanFest.
Awesome. That was a good tweet. I would retweet and favorite that.
Wow, thanks, Dakota.
I know. I might even follow you after tweeting that.
Where would you follow me?
Anything, but yeah. So I want to thank you all for coming out today to watch the Cup Forecast. I want to thank you for listening to the Cup Forecast. If you like this content, you can see more of it at MLB.com/Cut4. You can follow us at Cut4. And you can subscribe to this very podcast on iTunes for the Cut Forecast. You can search for us there, and we will show up in your smartphone or listening device once a week, every week throughout baseball season. And it will be just a true true joy. So thank you so much for coming out to watch the Cut Forecast. And those listening, we'll talk to you next week. And those here, thank you so much for having us in your beautiful city of Cincinnati.
Yeah,
this was super fun. Thanks for coming out, guys.
Thanks.